name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. A month ago, I was tramping through the hills of western Kenya. I'd been invited by Bishop Obare, the courageous bishop of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in Kenya, to see how we might partner, especially to assist his church in diaconic work. Well, we were staying in the Kisi Hilton at $6 a night with meals. And all these places in Africa have guards around compounds and barbed wire on top. And the guard at this Kisi Hilton, he had a homemade bow and arrow. And I saw it was about this long, and he had these scraggly looking arrows with a little bit of feather here and there on the tail end, and I kind of laughed a bit. I laughed at him that evening when it was about 65 degrees and he had a heavy winter coat on. And then we went to the next step up. The next night we stayed at the Kisi Ramada at $8 a night, three meals. Same thing, man with a bow and arrow. His bow looked worse. And we had a great evening with our friends there. We enjoyed each other's company. We ate well. We had something to drink. I got up, was feeling quite good, and I asked this man, could I try to shoot that bow? And he handed it to me, and I had done a merit badge in this stuff 30 years ago. I knew what I was doing. I aimed and shot toward a tree and sort of went into the leaves. We all tried it a bit. Then he said, let me try. And there was a tree about just as far away as the altar is here, and a tree about as big around as those candlesticks. He stepped up, he put the bow sideways from the hip, and he went, choof, and that arrow hit dead center in that tree. Choof. And I just, at that moment, raised my hands and said, oh Lord, I believe, I believe. I repent. All I could do is think of that arrow going through my leg. Today's text, my friends, is like an arrow going right to the heart of the faith. That man did a second arrow, right to the heart again. Two in a row. This text has two things that are at the heart of the faith: confession and the cross. Who do men say that I am? But who do you say that I am? And Peter says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Let me tell you, today, insofar as a church is Christian, it is a confessing and confessional church. The New Testament is on about confessing Christ clearly, confessing who Christ is. And secondly, we see, and this is what caused Peter offense and still causes us offense, the church is a church that goes the way of the cross, also in diaconia, or it denies Christ. The church is confessing. The great New Testament word is homologeo, to say the same thing, to speak back to God what he has spoken to us. And there are three great uses in the New Testament. The first is the confession of sins. They came to the River Jordan, homologeo, confessing their sins. And John the Baptist confessed, are you the Christ? No, he confessed, I am not the Christ. You have a harder time confessing that you're not the Christ, whether in your family or in your church or in your workplace. He confessed his sins, and there can be no faith without confession of sins. And there's another great use of this word in the New Testament. Whoever confesses with his mouth and believes in his heart shall be saved. Homologeo, confess. It is to confess the great content of the faith. But thou art the Christ, you are the promised one, you are the expected one, the one the Old Testament prophets told us about. You are the anointed, the Son of God. God in the flesh is who you are. Jesus is Lord is the first great confession of the New Testament. It means Jesus is Yahweh. It is the content of the faith. And there's a third use of this great word, homologeo, in the New Testament. Jesus prays in his high priestly prayer, I praise you, Lord, because you have hidden this from the wise and revealed it to babes. I praise you is the word homologeo again. I confess you. I speak back to you words you have told me about yourself, O Lord. There can be no faith without these things. Clear confession of who Christ is. But there's also the cross. And this is what gets Peter the greatest, the harshest, stinging rebuke of the entire Bible. Chief of apostles. Get behind me, Satan. Your thoughts aren't the thoughts of God. Your thoughts are the thoughts of men. Why? Because Jesus had just made his first passion prediction. And as I was saying the other day to some staff in a staff meeting, well, Peter wouldn't have a suffering Christ. But there's more. It was mentioned that perhaps Peter didn't want a suffering Christ because Peter didn't want to go the way of the cross himself. Now, at this point, we usually say things like, oh, you're going to go out in the church and you're going to confess Christ, you're going to confess Christ in the world, and you're going to suffer for it. But I would like to turn in a little different direction. You see, Jesus said, I came not to be served, diakonin, but to serve, diakonin, and give my life as a ransom for many. And I would like to suggest to you today that unless this confessing and confessional church is a church of diakonia, then we are a clanging cymbal. If we have faith to remove mountains but not love, we are nothing. I would like to suggest to you that this confession of Peter leads us precisely to diakonia, following Christ who came not to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. We read this in 1 John in this wonderful passage. In this we have known the love that this Christ laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. For whoever has the sustenance of life and beholds his brother having a need, kreion, it's the same word in Acts 6, and turns away from him, and the word used there is the same word for Jesus having compassion on those in need. How can the love of God be in him? Children, let us not love with word or tongue, but in deed and in truth. And I would like to suggest to you further that on this day of the confession of St. Peter, St. Peter was an apostle of diakonia under the cross. Since therefore Christ suffered in the flesh, 1 Peter 4. Arm yourselves with in the same way of thinking. Cross-thinking. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling, as each has received a gift. Use it to serve as Christ has served you. And I would like to suggest to you the presence of blue dresses on this campus is the embodiment of the cross on this this campus. You were buried with Christ by baptism into his death and put into a body. And that means together we are in this church to love one another and to love others outside of this church. You receive the body and blood of Christ often at this very altar, not so you can spew forth against those who have received that same body and blood from those very lips, but so that made one with that body, you can love and care and serve under the cross. And I suggest that's what Peter was on about, finally. And that's what Christ was on about when he said, "Yes, it's true, I am the Christ, the Son of the living God, and I came to serve. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen."